Good evening, everybody. You are not seeing things. Chaz and I have joined the Backwall Pounders. I have got my goggle hat on. I've got my fake Burberry scarf on. Chaz has got his Stony on, and we are ready to rock and roll on a Friday night. Peterborough United have got an away trip to Bradford. We're here to preview it all. We've got two Bradford fans joining us tonight. The viral Bradford chicken dance guy. We've got Sam, who was on us SHD. He is on YouTube, who does vlogs. And we've got Carl, who makes memes about Chaz when he's got free time. Chaz, how are you? You got anything to kick us off with tonight?
I am good, thank you. I'm delighted to be a new member of the Backwall Pounders. I just want to say what a great job me and all my stony-wearing mates did getting that stand shut down for the Exeter game. Well done, lads. Really good job. A really solid shift from, you know, really loyal fans of the club.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I was told that my time has come. Well, my time is now. I am a Backwall Pounder. I literally cannot wait to just cause some absolute raucous in that away end tomorrow. I will be at the back. I will be absolutely beating that drum. I will be beating the back wall. We're gonna absolutely smash it. Let's not delay anything any longer. Let's bring in our first guest of the evening, which is AJ. And hopefully everybody will recognize this face. Good evening, AJ. How are you?
Evening, guys. I'm very well. How are you?
Well, I'm actually incredibly raw warm right now, so I'm going to let Chaz ask you some questions whilst I take off all this nonsense because I'm sweating.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's important for the viewership. If you don't know AJ, I've got a little clip to play you, which will remind you because he went very viral in recent weeks. So here we go, AJ. Enjoy.
We've got some hot press, crazy
Oh, God.
Well, AJ, I guess the first place to start is, well, did you expect to be a viral sensation in recent weeks?
No, not really, mate. I mean, you know, when that whole celebration kicked off, I mean, we just scored a belter of a goal, you know, floater up to the back post, Tyreek Wright, first time left foot volley straight into the top corner. You're thinking, oh, brilliant. And I was bare gassed as well because we had a goal earlier in the first half that was disallowed. And the thing is, that celebration stemmed a lot from what happened in the reverse fixture for me because we had, we lost 3-1. And City fans will be aware, but two players in particular for Doncaster, Billy Sharp and Jordan Gibson, I would class probably as City's nemesis in that sense. And that chicken dance, you know, that was Billy Sharp's celebration back in the reverse fixture. And I thought, you know what, that lived, you know, I remember that vividly. So it was like, right, you did the chicken dance towards, I'm going to do the chicken dance to you now as well. But that whole point and wink thing, I mean, that's all me. So, that's what seems to have caught everyone's attention is that, you know, I'm just there enjoying the moment of doing the chicken dance. But then, you know, I'm doing the point and the wink, you know, the dart throw and everything. And people just going, losing their heads over that. I'm thinking, you know what, it's, I didn't plan on going viral. If it made people happy, I'm happy. But yeah, it was, it's been a pretty crazy week to say the least. I mean, this thing has got like, what is it, 5 million views across all different platforms. It's insane, but it's been crazy, but it's been really thrilling as well. So yeah, I've definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah. And tell me about your Bradford City supporting journey. How long have you been a Bradford fan?
Yeah, since the age of 7 years old, really. From my first game, Bradford v Macclesfield at home, 1-1 draw. Used to sit in the same stand that I sit in now, just more towards the centre where the cameras are a few rows down. And you know, ever since then, really, I mean, obviously they weren't the best years for City, especially in that period when we were, you know, getting stuck in and around League Two and such, but fell in love with the game ever since then. And I've been a City fan ever since. You know, it's an emotional journey, which any football fan can say. You know, you have the highs, you have the lows. I mean, we've had the highs of the 2012-2013 run, you know, the brilliant FA Cup run, knocking out Jose Mourinho's Chelsea as well. And then, of course, the lows of relegation and flirting with the National League back in, 2019, 2020. So, it's been crazy, but 2025 has definitely been one of the best times to be a City fan. You cap it off with promotion and what's been an incredible start to League One, and I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing how the rest of the season plays out, because it's been a very good season back in League One. We've certainly had it better than all the other teams that got promoted last year. You look at Wimbledon, Doncaster, Vale, who were struggling as well. We've had it better than most, and we've properly taken to it. We just need to bounce back from what's been a really difficult January period, and fingers crossed we'll be right up there in that playoff mix come to the end of the season.
Yeah, because we played you back in August and it was a 1-1 draw, wasn't it? But that was a very difficult time for us and a very good time for you, and had a really strong start to the season. What's gone wrong of late, do you think?
I think it's just been the opposition, really. You look at who we've played recently, I mean, the calibre of opponent we've taken on. I mean, I won't forget Lincoln away in a hurry. And you know, that was being labelled as a six-pointer for promotion, because I think Lincoln was second and we were sitting fourth at the time, but only 2 points separated us. So obviously whoever won that had a massive chance to sort of stay clear of the playoff pack. And we just got absolutely outclassed in that sense. Lincoln, you know, battered us from start to finish. I think, in my personal opinion, they took pity on us. It should have been maybe 5 or 6, ended up just being 3-0. And I think couple that with the, we have to wait and see how it plays out, but what may turn out to be a difficult January transfer period, we've lost some real stalwart characters in the likes of, Andy Cook, Alex Patterson, you know, players of that calibre, proper immense influencers in the dressing room, if you like, people who can galvanise teams. And we've seemed to replace them with quite a fair bit of inexperienced youth, which I'm not against. I mean, you know, you definitely want, pardon the pun, you definitely want a few spring chickens in and around the dressing room. But it's more of a case of if you don't have the experience, you don't have the players that you can look up to kind of give you hope and spur you on, then it's, you don't want the City faithful, over 20,000 of us, coming down hard on some young players. But it's just been I think it'll take a bit of time. I trust Graham Alexander. He's not giving me reason not to trust him. I mean, he's turned around what was a club down in the dumps in a really bad situation and got us back into League One after 6 long years back in the doldrums of League Two. So I trust Graham Alexander. I trust his thinking. Obviously, we can't compete with the big spenders in the division. I mean, you see over £1 million being spent on players in League One. It's crazy how much money there is in this division now. But we just got to wait and see. We got a result against Doncaster. I'm confident our home form's been very good. I'm confident we can do the business at home. But I'm not taking anything away from you guys. You guys are a really good side. I never thought back in the reverse fixture that you'd be down in the drop zone for too long, because, you know, I think you had like 5 losses on the bounce or something. But I knew just watching your team play and the kind of players you brought in, you know, you were definitely going to be aiming for a top 10 finish minimum. So it's no surprise to me to see you where you are currently in the table, and it should make for a really good game on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, lots of January signings, but one that, caught a lot of posh fans' attention for the wrong reason. Former Cambridge man, Paul Mullin, hates us. We all, fell out with him away at Wrexham last season. Ash particularly fell out with him after their Virtue Trophy semi-final defeat to Posh. Paul Mullin, how has he come in? Is he looking threatening? Is League One a level that he can really be productive at?
I'll be honest with you, mate. I actually wasn't a fan of Mullin prior to him joining the club either. So it was kind of like when I saw him in City colours, I was thinking, oh, God. Well, he's our player now, so, you know, let's get behind him and see what he can do. In the first game, which I saw him play against Donny, I thought he did really well. You know, he was a bit like an old-school centre-forward in that sense, drawing the fouls, always up for a challenge, that kind of style. He struggled in the last fixture, but it was more of a case of, you know, Luton just had a better team on the day. I mean, some of their players in particular, I mean, I can't remember his name or the number, but there was one player who, there was like a highlight reel of him just rinsing about 4 or 5 City players in one go and just darting forward towards the goal. That's the caliber of player you got. He just had a really bad performance all round, so I can't single out Mullin for that one. But, you know, it's still early days. I mean, I like the look of him in the Doncaster fixture. I think in a game where he'll probably be at Valley Parade because he seems to thrive in that kind of environment. So I think he will definitely, I think he'll put in a shift tomorrow. I mean, I'm yet to be convinced by him in terms of his presence and his goal scoring prowess, but you know, let's wait and see. I'm willing to give him a chance. There's a long time now until the end of the season.
Yeah, AJ, Paul Mullin sort of represents everything that I would imagine Bradford to be as a big physical team. Is that something that we're going to see again tomorrow, and that obviously we're going to have some concerns in Posh's? Obviously, we play Tuesday. You guys have had the week off. Do you think that that's going to cause Posh any problems tomorrow?
Yeah, you mentioned the big physical team. I mean, traditionally, that's what we have been. But I would say more recently, I'd say our style of play, and this is my own personal opinion, we tend to do a lot more hoofball out from the back. Before, we used to do a lot more, playing out from the back and passing it through the midfield with the odd occasional hoofball up to the top. But our trouble is, besides Mullin, who isn't, let's be honest, he isn't the tallest striker, we don't really have much physical presence up top. And, in defence as well, we looked so solid in defence at the start of the season. You know, when you had Joel Wright, Curtis Tilt, Matthew Pennington, they looked solid as a rock at the start of the season. And I think we had some of the best defensive stats in the first couple of months in the league, actually. But more recently, I don't want to say we've been found out, but it looks like our back line has been struggling a bit more. And I'm not quite sure where Graham Alexander wants to do with this. Does he keep the same defenders, the same centre-backs week in, week out? Does he stick with three at the back? Does he go to four at the back? It seems to vary from time to time. So it's going to be an interesting one. In terms of physical presence, we don't shirk away from a challenge, but we don't have as much presence as you might think in that sense.
That excites me because I think that we're going to have some tired legs tomorrow. I think that we'll probably make a few rotations, but we've not got massive amounts of squad depth. Obviously, your squad depth is lower, maybe. I know that you brought in lots of players, but you also have got rid of some cult heroes, haven't you, in January? And definitely Andy Cook, he's gone out on loan and he'll not return because his contract ends at the end of the year. What's that sort of been like for the fan base, losing those key players to sort of like your team and who Bradford are?
Yeah, I think there are three in particular that really stand out. So you have Andy Cook, you have Brad Halliday, and you have Alex Patterson. Andy Cook was definitely a difficult one to take. It was a tough one to take because he's sort of been, you know, the poster boy of the city squad for the last 5 years nearly. And, you know, he's always been in amongst it. You know, he's probably the first name on the team sheet when we were down in League Two. You always look, right, is Cookie playing? You know, who's playing with him? What kind of services are you going to get? That kind of thing. But it was kind of, I think from the middle of October onwards, you know, Cookie started being left out of the team altogether, wasn't even making the subs bench. Initially, speculation was there, you know, is he carrying some sort of injury from training? But, you know, more and more we understood that I won't necessarily say frozen out, but Graham Alexander just didn't fancy him to play a part in this team. And, you know, that ruthless streak is probably where a lot of City fans think, you know what, if Cookie's not going to get a look in here, then, you know, get him out on loan somewhere or get him in a squad where he's going to be playing because he's in the twilight stage of his career now. He's 35, going on 36. And if he's not playing football, and Andy Cook, I know the kind of character he wants to be playing. He wants to be scoring goals and getting a few more promotions. So the fact that he wasn't playing, I knew he wasn't going to settle for that, despite his love for the club, which is evident, and we love him. So I think it's probably the right move because he needs to be playing off the back of a serious career injury. Brad Halliday was also another difficult one to take. But again, Mr. Consistent, we all refer to him as Ginger Cafu. He's been present in the squad. He's been Mr. Reliable for so long. And it's through no fault of his own. But we certainly at the start of the season, we upgraded in terms of the right back with Josh Nerville coming in. And, you know, he looked scintillating in the first half of the season. I mean, his first game against Wickham as well, that performance was just brilliant. I mean, there was a little pre-assist. I so wish that it would have gone in. He kind of just ran to the edge of the area towards the goal line, back-heeled across goal, and Stephen Humphreys just shot it straight at the goalkeeper. It was a brilliant assist, but I just wish it would have gone into the back of the net, because that would probably have been one of the assists of the season. Nurbils looked pretty good over the course of the year. He's dropped off a little bit in form recently, but I suspect he'll probably get back in now that he's getting a run of games in the team again. And Alex Patterson, you know, a player who really, in my opinion, has the quality to play much higher up the pyramid, but injuries just hampered his ability to progress, in my opinion. He's on his day, he's absolutely brilliant midfielder, box-to-box midfielder. It's just a shame that the injuries have caught up, and, you know, with him dropping in and out of the team on what's probably going to be a pretty big wage packet, you know, you've got to look at that and think, are your resources better deployed elsewhere? And it's a sad one, but to see him move on. But, you know, again, like Cookie and Halliday, they need to be playing. So it's probably the right move. They're probably the right moves. I'm not going to say I don't miss them. I do miss them. I wish they were still here. But for these guys in particular, it's probably the right move.
Yeah, one man that I do want to ask you about just before we move on to a score prediction is Humphreys. Obviously, there's been lots of talk about him across the season because he's been playing number nine, hasn't he? But then he wants to play out on the left wing. Am I right in saying that? But your manager's basically said you don't run enough to play out on the left wing. So if you want to play football, you'll be playing as a number nine. Is that right, AJ?
Yeah, I think when we signed him from Barnsley, a lot of the Barnsley fans were saying, you know, if you want to see Humps deployed in his best position, it's cutting in from the left-hand side as a winger, not as a centre-forward, because that's not where his greatest gifts are in that sense. But the way Graham Alexander has described it, he's described Humphreys as kind of like a free-flowing number nine, which means, you know, basically run wherever you want to, but dart towards the goal as soon as you get there. So in your centre-forward role, if you need to run towards the left, run towards the left. If you need to run out to the right, run out to the right. Or if you're on goal, go straight to on goal. So it doesn't really have his role defined in that sense, constrained to just being the target man in the box. But Humphreys, and this is what I was referring to in terms of the physical presence up top, because as someone who's probably played in from the left-hand side for a lot of his career at Barnsley, I don't expect Stephen Humphreys to be challenging for headers every time we hoop it up the top of the pitch, because more often than not, the opposition centre-backs seem to be winning them. And we go back to square one, which is we go back towards our defence and then either look to carve an opening or just hoof it back up towards the left or the right-hand side again. So I don't think we have, again, Mullin, we have to wait and see, but I'm yet to be convinced that we have anyone up top who can actually provide that physical presence. I don't believe that's Stephen Humphreys. I think his best work is dribbling and running towards the goal. But, you know, I'd say it's probably been an underwhelming season from Humphreys, but he's not really had that much service to work off, really. So it'll be an interesting one. But Peterborough, a game like this where you have some good attacking players as well, I fully expect this to be an end-to-end game. I don't expect this to be a cagey, you know, 1-0 scrappy win. I think this is going to be a free-flowing game.
Fingers crossed. That leads me perfectly to ask you for a score prediction then for tomorrow. And if you think that Bradford are going to score, which it sounds like you do, who's going to be your first Bradford goal scorer, AJ?
I go out on a limb here and I'm going to say it's going to be a 2-1 win to City. I don't think it'll be a convincing performance, but certainly in terms of entertainment, I think we can definitely go and get the job done. I think we have enough to maybe get a couple of goals, especially at home. My first goal scorer, you know what? Let's say Stephen Humphreys. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he'll get the first goal. Why not?
Fair enough. Fingers crossed he doesn't. He's one that maybe may not start, right? He's not. Did he start in your last game?
Good question. He definitely played because he got the goal in injury time. I can't remember the team sheet. Did he start in the last game? I can't remember.
No, I can see Sam in the lobby shaking his head saying no. So he didn't start. So he's going to be your impact sub and score your first goal tomorrow by the sounds of things.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. We just need to get back to winning ways. We've had, 5 losses since the start of 2026. It's not been ideal. But, you know, if we can get a couple of wins together, then I'm pretty confident we can rock and roll again.
Well, everybody will be able to see you tomorrow. Posh fans, you've told us that you sit right on the segregation, don't you? You're about row V, you reckon? So Posh fans will be able to give you a wave. And, I mean, have you got any way that you want to sign off? Maybe give us a finger point or anything like that? I'm not going to get you up and start doing a chicken dance in your room, but... What can Posh fans expect? Have you got anything lined up if Bradford score late tomorrow?
Yeah, wait till tomorrow, man. Wait and see. Wait and see. You know, it's a surprise. I don't want to be giving anything away. You don't want to spoil it. But yeah, I mean, it'll be entertaining. It'll be good fun. And for all you Posh fans that do recognise me, I'll see you all later. See you later.
Thank you, AJ. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers, guys.
See you tomorrow. See you later. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Right.
Oh, Chaz, we have got some technical difficulties tonight, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, sorry. If I appeared really knocked out, yeah, if I appeared really unfocused and not listening to AJ, I wasn't. I was just... Twitter has decided not to actually share our live stream, so I had to go and try and figure out a way to get around that. So that's fine.
Maybe it's been shadow banned because they think that we're football hooligans and they don't want to push that sort of thing out. Who knows? Look, hang on a minute. In all the excitement, I forgot to change my background as well. So here we are. Have it now. I've changed my background. This is going to be me tomorrow. I'm going to take a quick trip to Turkey in the morning. I'm going to go and badge myself up, and we're going to be footballing ultras tomorrow. Let's not hang around anymore, though. Let's get Sam in. Sam has been on before. Sam, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I am good, thank you. I'm gonna run straight to the comments because you are our local weatherman for the day, and you reckon the game's gonna be off, right? Do you want to share that now?
Well, I mean, the weather today has been very snowy, lots of rain. It's all well and good the sun being out in the morning, but the majority of our pitch doesn't really get much sun because of the two big stands. So given that we had the Rotherham game called off in similar weather circumstances a couple of weeks ago, I'd be surprised if the game's on, to be honest.
Oh, that's actually so annoying, because you know what? I was feeling weirdly confident. And also, we've got like over 1,000 Posh fans coming up, which is a pretty good away following for us. So to then, yeah, not be able to do it and have to move it to a Tuesday night will be a right shame. Sam, talk to me then about, well, how you've enjoyed the season since we last spoke to you back in August.
Yeah, I don't think that I would have still expected us to be in the playoffs, in all honesty, considering, you know, where both teams were at the start of the season when we played after, what, game week 4, game week 5. But it had, up until very recently, been an incredible season. I don't think anybody could have asked for much better. You could go back to as little as 5 games ago and we were in a serious hunt for automatic promotion. Recently, we've played a lot of the better sides. We've been found out, some transfer business not quite getting done before a lot of our big games. And obviously, we're coming off the back of, I think it's 6 defeats in our last 9 matches or something like that. It's not been a great run of form for us, but we're at home. We've only lost 4 games at home since the beginning of last campaign. So I'm still feeling relatively confident coming into this one, but you've obviously changed a lot since the last time we played. You've got a much better manager now, a much better squad as well. So I think it'll be a good game, an entertaining one for sure.
Sorry, me and Ash both went to talk at the same time and then ended
up... No, let me in, because that's something that I've just remembered. We had our shit squad, didn't we, when we played Bradford last time? We didn't have Harry Leonard. We didn't have Jimmy J. Morgan.
You had we brought Gustav in... up front for that game.
Big up Gustav. Are we missing him? I don't think we are. What did we have? Matt Garbett? I can't remember. Did we have Kioso, or did they come in?
I think that was Garbett.
That was his first performance. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He looked good though, didn't he, that day? And we were all like, oh, he's got a bit, but we need about another 10 of him, and then we got some more of him. So that's a good thing. Sam, how have you viewed it from externally then? I always find it interesting when fans talk about Posh from an external view. What are your thoughts on Peterborough United's 25-26 so far?
Yeah, Peterborough are one of the clubs that I kind of look a little bit more at in a little bit more detail, given that, you know, your owner, El Presidente, is very outspoken, which I think's got you guys in a little bit of trouble this season. But Yeah, I think obviously, you know, Darren Ferguson, his time at Peterborough, it's amongst his many different spells, I think it had come to an end. And I think Luke Williams was probably the perfect appointment for you. I think you'll be lucky to keep hold of him for years to come. So I think he's a very, very good manager, but he's done very well to turn things around. I know there has been a changeover of players, but there's still certain players who looked absolutely awful under Ferguson and now look, you know, real competent League One players. You're only 5 points off the playoffs. Yes, you've played a couple of games more than we have, but you win this one and who knows what could happen between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, and are you... So, Phil Idson, who, I don't know if you know, he's Dara's co-host. He told us when we went on the Hard Truth podcast that he would swap Bradford's position for Peterborough United and swap Bradford's squad for Peterborough United. Do you agree with him, is my question?
No, I'll always back my players. I don't swap our players for the Cardiff squad because these are the players that have got us in that position and... You know, this is the manager that's got us in that position. We're probably the most overachieving club in the division, maybe even one of the most in the 92 as well. So I think we've done very well to get in the position that we are in. Yes, recently we've gone on a bit of a wobble, but now our signings have had a couple of weeks to get their foot under the door. It also probably comes with a part of the opposition are starting to respect us a lot more. At the start of the season, a lot of people would have just looked at us as well, a team that's great promotion from League Two last campaign, we'll just play how we want, whereas... We were, you know, went away to Cardiff and won. We went away to Stockport and won. We beat Huddersfield at home all within the first 10 games of the season. And then teams started to respect us a bit more, weren't really playing out from the back. And we couldn't commit to our press, which, you know, worked so well for us at the start of the campaign. And obviously teams now, they're going more direct. They're sticking it on us, trying to win the second balls. And recently we've started to get overran a lot in midfield, given that we only played two holding midfielders. A lot of teams play 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1. So they always seem to have an extra man in midfield and it's caused us a lot of problems over the last couple of weeks because teams are just bypassing our press now. And we seem a little bit reluctant to change away from it.
Yeah, when you played us, Will Swan was like the best thing since sliced bread. Is he, I actually haven't looked into it. Is he injured or is he just not like on the same form that he was at the start of the season?
He's had a couple of injuries. He's injured at the moment. I think he's got some sort of hamstring problem. Obviously, he scored in that reverse fixture as well. But I think he's only got one goal since like September the 6th. So he had an unbelievable start to life at Bradford City when we were playing very well. And the system certainly suited him. But then Humphreys kind of got a run in the team and Swan was then in and out. And he's not really had many opportunities to start games. And obviously, he is injured at the moment. But I think even if he was available, given that we've now got four or five really good options to play a striker, I don't think he would be starting this game.
Yeah, and your thoughts on the January recruits, Caden Jackson, Paul Mullin, some of the bigger names that you've brought in?
Yeah, up until the last couple of days of the window, I thought our squad was weakened when we were at the start of the transfer window. We got rid of a lot of big characters who weren't necessarily playing that much football and some of them were on pretty big wages, so it made sense to get rid of them. But the likes of Mullin and Jackson, Lee Evans, you know, these experienced type of players, you know, wanted them in before you play Huddersfield and Lincoln. We didn't do that at Cardiff as well, so... We were going into certain games with Stephen Humphreys and Callum Kavanagh as our only two striking options. We were really lacking a goal threat. In the Lincoln game, we created 0.03 XG, had two shots in the entire match. We were absolutely dreadful. And obviously, Lincoln deserve credit for that. They are a very good side defensively. But that was the only thing that frustrated me, I think, about our transfer window is we didn't get more of our better business done earlier on in the window. It's all well and good bringing in a few kids on loan at the start of the transfer window. But I think that's my only real criticism from it because it has kind of cost us automatic promotion now. Not that that was Bradford City's expectation this season, but being 12 points away, yes, we've got a game in hand, but I don't see us closing a 12-point gap with 17 games to go.
Yeah, that leads me on nicely then. What are Bradford City's expectations this season? Do you back yourself up against, you know, sides like Luton who are going to try and push you all the way? Us, you know, if we're going to try and go for that playoff push, do you back yourself to get that sixth spot?
Well, at the start of the campaign, I'd have bit your hand off for fifth bottom and just avoid relegation, not going back to the hellhole that is League Two. But given how well that we'd started the season, even as of a couple of weeks ago, I thought, well, there's no real reason why we can't go and challenge for automatic promotion or certainly finishing the playoffs is a bare minimum. But as each game week's gone by, we've proven that we're struggling now a little bit against some of the bigger sides in this division that have obviously spent a lot more money than we have. We've got a mid-table budget, so we are certainly overachieving. But I do think we will fall out of the playoffs come the end of the campaign. If we do, we'll cling on and maybe finish in sixth. But I know the playoffs can be a lottery at times, but I don't see us going up this season, which I do think is not the end of the world, because I think if you go straight up into the Championship with, you know, certain players in our squad who were mid-table at League Two, I think we'd definitely come straight back down unless we got some real significant investment, which I don't necessarily see happening. But as long as we, you know, give it a real good go between now and the end of the season, we see a lot of positive signs, you know, some of our younger players keep developing, and who knows what our transfer budget could be in the summer if we sell a couple of those. But I think if we finish in the playoffs, it would obviously be an incredible season, but I'm not expecting us to finish in that top six, given the money that some of the teams around us have spent.
Sam, if you don't think you're going to finish in the top six, obviously there's definitely a chasing pack, isn't there, of probably four teams, I would say now. Who do you think's going to make it up there? I'm looking for some positivity here. I'm hoping that you're going to say Posh, but realistically, who do you think it will be that will take sixth place in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think there is only one place left. I think the top five are pretty cemented, even though we are level on points with Huddersfield, with also two games in hand. But you look at the couple of teams that are below us. Luton are very good at home, but then very bad away. And when I watched them last week, you know, they created a lot of chances. And having Clark and Palmer in the midfield, that's an absolute joke for this level. Some weeks I think Peterborough are very good. Then some weeks I think you're very bad, and that's probably the reason why you're not in the top six at the moment. And then again, Wickham, another team, very strong at home, but not great away from home. And then when you go further down the table, your Reddings, your Stevenage, your Mansfield, I think they're all far too inconsistent. So if I was to back any team to get in there, I would go Luton, just because of, you know, the money they've spent on their squad and the sheer quality, individual quality that is in there that can win you a game. But it's League One. Anything could change. You could see even somewhere like someone like a Doncaster just gatecrash the playoffs and win every game between now and the end of the season. That's just the crazy things that this division will bring up. But if I had to back anybody, I'd go Luton.
Yeah, I've just been looking at your squad and your back line especially, and there is some serious age in that back three. Are they sort of... my first thought was, wow, slow and not particularly mobile, and our sort of young, pacey attackers are going to have a bit of a field day. Is that a silly thing to assume?
I think it depends what back three we play, because we've been very flexible so far this season. You know, against the physical sides, we'll play a Joe Wright, a Kieran Kelly, a Curtis Tilt. But then against the more nimble sides like yourselves, where you've not really got that physical striker, you're probably going to play Leonard and Lisby, these type of players. So I wouldn't be surprised to see us drop Ibu Tori into the back three on the left side. You've got Aidan Baldwin and Matt Pennington, who are relatively competent. You know, they're quite agile in terms of what they bring to the team. And then you've got the pace in the wide areas then of your Tyreek Wright on the left, your Josh Nerfel on the right. So I think we've certainly got the options to be a pacey side. And I would be surprised if you see your Curtis Tilts play tomorrow, because it's not really the type of game for him.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. I just hope it doesn't get called off. Are you expecting then a Bradford win? Tell me your score prediction. Tell me your first Bradford goal scorer. But also, I love a detailed score prediction. So tell me how you think the goals are going to go. What sort of time are we looking? What sort of goals? Give me as much detail as you can.
All right. So I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw. I think there's certainly going to be goals. We have struggled to score more than one goal in a lot of games as of recently. But Anthony Sarsfield is back. He came on off the bench last weekend for Bradford City, and he is our most integral player. When he plays, we win. When he doesn't play, we lose. And it's literally as black and white as that. And I think he will come back in, he'll start this game, and he'll probably get our first goal. Away from that, I think you then might score a couple and go ahead, and we might end up actually getting a pretty late equaliser. In terms of the goal scorer for the late equaliser, it might be a substitute off the bench. It might be a Paul Mullin. It might be an Ethan Wheatley. Predicting our lineup for this game is pretty tough, because I don't think we played that bad against Luton, but you're coming off the back of a defeat and you've got good players to come in and out of the side. But I think we've got good options all over the park. But yeah, I'll say a 2-2 draw. We'll take the lead. You'll go 2-1 up, and then we'll get a late equaliser.
Sounds like a good game. I mean, I'll be frustrated to concede a late equaliser if we go 2-1 up. But you know what? A point away at Valley Parade is not a bad result. So let's
I'll
hope.
Tell you, there'll be one man that will love a late equaliser for Bradford, and it was AJ who was just on. I think he's locked up, ready to go for that next viral clip. Sam, where do you sit in the ground?
I'm in the Kop now. I moved at the start of this season to the Kop.
Good view from there?
Yeah, it's pretty decent. I mean, I'm right at the back row of my block, so there's nobody behind me shouting their horrendous opinions in my ear, which is useful.
That is good news. And quickly, for any Posh fans going up to Bradford, any suggestions on where we should visit pre-match? Any good pubs, any good places to get some food? I know lots of Posh fans may consider going for a curry in Bradford. What are we talking?
This is not really my ballpark. I mean, I'd say go to McDonald's and then try and get out of the city centre as quick as possible, to be honest. I think the away pub's Bradford Arms, but that's about as much detail as you get from me on that point.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sam. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Sam, do you want to shout out your channel? Where can people find you before we kick you off?
Yes, it's SHD on YouTube. There's plenty of Bradford City content on there. For more general League One content, that's more SHD. I do predictions and reviews over there. For match previews, SHD Plus. So plenty of content around Peterborough. And all the other League One sides across the various different channels I've just named there.
And you do post occasionally in the Loyal Fans of Peterborough United Facebook page, don't you? I'm sure I see you pop up there occasionally. Yeah, so if people are struggling to find you, they can... Well, maybe a good idea to head over there now and post one of your videos in there now, because there's nearly 500 people watching, and what better time to promote yourself?
Yes.
But thank you anyway, Sam. We will see you tomorrow.
Yes, see you then.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Right. Cheers.
Right, Chaz, are we feeling positive?
I don't know. I really don't know. I am worried about... I'm not worried about Bradford, really. Like, I think we've got a better squad than them on paper. Like, I tried to do a sort of combined 11, and I couldn't get a single Bradford player into my Peterborough United team, which is a bit crazy. But genuinely couldn't get a single one in. So I'm feeling pretty confident in that regard. It's just the fact that we had a game on Tuesday night away at Mansfield, which would have been a massive physical effort on the players. Literally one of the heaviest pitches I've ever seen. Players like James Dornelli, for example, looked absolutely cooked after about 70 minutes of that game. We then had to play 102 minutes and defending backs against the wall. Apparently there's a couple of knocks and scrapes in the squad as well. So I'm not feeling, it's not going to be ideal, I don't think, conditions for us to go to a place like Bradford tomorrow. And I think if their crowd gets up and gives them some energy for, a 10-minute spell, that could be really dangerous for us. So I think if we hadn't played on Tuesday and it was going to be a normal pitch, I think I'd say we'd go there and win, but... Well, I have still predicted we're going to go there and win, but my nerves.
Give the game away.
Yeah, my nerves are around the fact that the squad is going to be in a bit of a bad place tomorrow, I'd say.
Right. Let's not keep our Posh guest waiting. Carl is going to join us. Good evening, Carl. How are you?
Good evening, guys. How are we?
We are all good. How are you feeling ahead of tomorrow?
Say that again, sorry.
How are you feeling ahead of tomorrow?
Confident, I'd say. I'm very confident. Looking at how Bradford have performed against top half teams since their good starts in September, I think they've only won one against teams in the top half. So coming into that, I think we've won five since September as well. So looking at that, based on that, and their midfield, I feel if we control the midfield tomorrow, we've got every chance of winning that game. They're not the best in transition in midfield, playing a back five. If we get Lisby in between their wing back and their centre half, I think it's game over for them.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think they're going to struggle to deal with the pace and power out wide. What did you think of Mansfield on Tuesday night? It was very much we did what a lot of teams do to us and sort of smashed and grabbed that result, didn't we?
I think it showed a different side of the team. I don't think we've seen this season, at least. I think it's shown a lot of desire that I think we've been lacking a lot of in digging out points. It's something that good teams do. And I think since William has come in, I think we've seen a massive change, just not in the football, but I think in how the players react to going into hard times and having games where they're not on top physically or don't have as much of the ball as they want to. And then I believe it's just I just think you've seen what I've seen.
Let's put it up so that everyone can see it.
I'm big out for
him. Tell Guy if he hits a 180 on the dartboard behind him live on stream, I'll pay for all his drinks tomorrow. Well, Carl, now's your chance. Have you got your darts nearby?
I don't.
Oh well, sounds like a cop out to me. Look, Carl, tell me about Luke Williams, because obviously we put out an article comparing the 23-24 Wembley team versus this season or this current team. And the hardest question is, ignoring the fact that Fergie left us when we were bottom of the table, Luke Williams is very fresh and very like shiny thing new. What are your thoughts on him compared to Fergie? Like, what are the differences that you think that they will be seeing as footballers compared to Fergie, if that makes sense? I don't know.
I think at base, I think it's just a new face. It's new ideas. I think with Fergie, I've seen him more times at this football club than I've probably seen family members over the years. Like, it's mental. But I think to freshen it up and new ideas as a coach who's obviously had a lot of success with Notts County and non-league as well. He seems like a better man manager with some sort of players. I think also with Fergie and Darragh, it seems like their personal relationship could come at the cost of the professional relationship at the start of this season. I think that change of not having someone so close with being your manager and your chairman, it can cause a positive impact. Whereas you're making better business decisions. I think since we've changed from Fergie and brought in Williams, it's that new idea, it's that freshness. You've seen players that looked like they'd never play for us again, and he's turned them into top League One players. And I think that's one of the biggest difference I can say for when Williams has come in.
Yeah, I agree completely. He's made a massive, massive impact. Tomorrow then, do you share the same nerves that I do about the players and the fitness of the squad? Or are you looking at it in a more optimistic sense that, you know, 20,000 crowd, Bradford away, off the back of two wins, they'll be fired up like you know, never before?
I think that heavy pitch at Manfield is going to play a big, big part in the team we put out tomorrow. Like you said, Dornelly looked absolutely shattered after 65, 70 minutes. And he's come in and he's done well since replacing Chiosso after his red card. I think bringing Chiosso in tomorrow gives Dornelly a rest again. Having Chiosso as a leader on the pitch, 20,000 people behind you, it's just going to help the team through him leading for himself rather than having someone who's probably not experienced that as much with James Dornelly.
Do you know what? I think you've cracked it. Sorry to butt in, but I'm just thinking back to Derby away, all those many years ago, and Chiosso was good that day, wasn't he? And maybe you're right. Maybe the best Chiosso performances that we see are when there are big crowds, and maybe Chiosso just feeds off of that, and maybe that's why we've not seen the best of him, because I don't think we've really played any massive teams or massive crowds, have we, recently? So maybe tomorrow. I do think you're right. I think that Chiosso coming in for JD, not because JD's been bad, but JD needs a rest. And Chaz, you mentioned it as well, isn't you, that every time that JD comes out, he always looks better when he comes back in. And I wouldn't want him to get to that point where he has one or two bad performances and all of a sudden we're saying, oh my God, you should have taken him out. Maybe tomorrow is that day. And yeah, Carl, I reckon you smashed it there in terms of, yeah, Chiosso could be a big standout player. Somebody's just mentioned in the comments, and I'd love to know your thoughts on this as well. Keller obviously came on for Donny O'Brien Brady at halftime in midweek. Do you think that Brandon Keller starts tomorrow at his old club?
I think 100%. I think the problem with Donny is he's a great player when he's got no opposition player around him. But if you're playing in midfield in League One, it's never going to happen. And he just seems to never make the right decision when there's an ounce of pressure on him. But with Keller, he gives you both sides of midfield. He gives you that defensive sort of grittiness. And we can see he can make decisions under pressure with that pass to Leonard or at Mansfield to get the second goal. He does make the right decisions. And I think if we don't start Keller tomorrow, I can see us losing that midfield battle if it is Archie and Donny in there.
Yeah, well, let's hope we don't. They said, didn't they, both Bradford fans commented on how the midfield is a bit weak for them. So it's an area we need to be very strong to overpower them tomorrow. Carl, I want to know your score prediction. I'm going to ask for a detailed score prediction again because I absolutely love it. And you know what? Tell me what goal, if you think a Posh player is going to score, tell me what goal celebration they're going to do. Tell me what end of the pitch it's going to be. And if you think the game's going to get called off, then don't even predict the score.
Well, I do believe we're going to win. I believe we're going to win 3-0. My first goal scorer is none other than Carl Johnston. I believe that Carl Johnston will score the first goal tomorrow from one of them dodgy corners that we always take. Straight out to him, edge of the box, sidewinder volley, going to score. They're going to press us. So much space in behind. Then we'll nick two off with Leonard in the second half.
That is unreal. I love that. Carl Johnston and the ball ready. Thank you so much, Carl. I know you were the one that made the Twitter edit of me. Which player did you pick to put my face on a few weeks ago? Can't remember. But
one that came up on Google.
Fair enough. Well, I was edited onto that. And thank you for doing that. That's absolutely made my evening. And you better do that. Are you going to the game tomorrow?
I'm not. I'll be watching from home.
Oh, I was going to say, you better do that to that AJ in the ground when he's doing his chicken dance. You grab a ball from the side of the pitch and hit him with one of them. I'll do it for you. It's fine.
He might need to be added a video tomorrow if it happens.
Well, thank you so much for the celebration. And that's a sort of actually overshadowed. That is a very optimistic prediction. And I hope you are right. And if Carl Johnston scores the first goal tomorrow, I'm going to go absolutely ballistic. And I'll send you a message just out of pure celebration, Carl. Thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. Have a good night, guys.
Oh, no. Ashley's gone again.
I was not expecting that at all. Right. Let's move straight on to predictions before we have a quick run through the comments, shall we?
Yeah, because I have a serious bone to pick with someone in the comments. But yeah, let's do predictions first.
Oh, I've got some bones to pick as well. So yeah, let's do it. Score prediction time. It is, of course, the best time to enter the Next Level Barbell Club Predictions League at www.upthepodcast.com/NLBC-predictions-league. I will be running through my predictions on the other four hosts, and then Charlie can talk us through his once I've done that. So I have gone with a positive 3-1 Posh victory with Kyrell Lisby to score first. Harry has gone for us to lose 2-0. I don't know whether that's because he's just in a negative mood or whether he does genuinely think that. John is captain negative and picks the same bloody first goal scorer every week. So Harry Leonard's always his banker if we think we're going to score. He thinks that we're going to lose 2-1. Lods has predicted the same as... Was it Sam that predicted 2-2, Chaz?
Yeah.
Lods has gone 2-2 tomorrow with Jimmy J. Morgan, first goal scorer. And Max is on the positive side of the fence with a Posh 2-1 victory. Also, Jimmy J. Morgan, first goal scorer, which, you know, that was one of the craziest things from the midweek predictions, wasn't it? Is that we had six different first goal scorer predictions and none of them were Jimmy J. Morgan. What is that all about? Have we missed that one? How's nobody picked up easy points there among the hosts?
Yeah, that is a weird one. I've gone with 1-0, Brandon Keller, 61st minute, and it's going to, well, actually, around the 61st minute. I'm not going to pinpoint myself into a minute, but it's going to be a ball in from the right-hand side, around the six-yard box. One of their defenders is going to try and clear it. It's going to be scuffed to the edge of the area. Keller's going to shoot. His shot's going to be deflected in. And then he's going to go like this in front of the away and do the Bellingham. It's going to be absolute limbs. And then it's going to be backs against the wall. But Big Dave, Tom Lees and Alex Bass are going to bail us out time and time again. And we will win on the road, which will be very, very, very satisfying. Right. I'm
looking forward to it. Yeah, come on then. Yeah. Let's get in the comments. You go first because you want to pull
right.
that up. Don't
I want to pull this guy up. Bantam Neil. Right. I hope he's still in the chat. I want to ask.
Well, Bantam Neil, before you give him a load of grief, Bantam Neil is a dedicated Up the Poshcast
I'm not
going
to give him, I'm not even giving him grief. I'm just going to say, I want you to tell me in your comments.
Jazzy's gone again. He's gone again in the comments.
Right. Again. Okay. Yeah. 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 And you'll wake up for your dream. Oh, you're about to wake up from your nightmare, mate. Because I wanna ask you. Right. Get Paul Bradford's side up from last week. Paul Posh's side up. Tell me which players from the Bradford team you're taking over Peterborough United players. Because I'll go through it right now. Right. Walker in goal. Alex Bass, obviously better than Walker. The back three of Pennington, Curtis Tilt, and Baldwin. Tom Lees is better than all of them, first of all. And Akagboy, come on, you're not taking any of them over Akagboy. Surely, surely. Then your fullbacks are Torre and Nerfville. Okay. Nerfville's the only one that you can sort of make a case for, but Chioso on his day, Dornelli, CJ, one of them's better than him, I'm sure of it. And Harley Mills is definitely better than Ibu Torre. Metcalf and Power in midfield. Well, Archie Collins is a shoo-in in midfield, 100%. Ben Woods over, what, either Metcalf or Power? Yeah, probably. You guys, you know, Keller even. You guys got priced out of that deal in the summer, but you would have taken him back, wouldn't you? You've seen how good he is. Then you've got, well, you don't play with wingers, but Caden Jackson over who?
I'm going to live to regret this, but Caden Jackson is fucking trash. He signed for Derby, and I messaged my Derby mate and said, he's a struggle, he'll score loads of goals. If you look at his goal-scoring record, he scored like 10 goals in like 1,000 appearances. I genuinely don't know how this guy keeps getting moves to relatively decent clubs on relatively long-term contracts. Announce the hat-trick tomorrow, but Chaz, go on.
It's mental. Yeah. So Garbutt, you're not taking Jackson over Garbutt or Jimmy J. Morgan, are you really? You tried to take Jimmy J. Morgan from us in January. So he's already in because you already tried to sign him. And you're obviously not going to sign him for Bantam Neil. Put your money where your mouth is. Tell me the player. Tell me the name. Give me some names. I want names of Bradford players and Peterborough players. Go this player over this player and then we can talk. But until you tell me the names, don't tell me to take my glasses. Ash is the one that's got had goggles on at the start of this episode. There are no glasses on me, mate. And Paul Mullin up front is not getting in over Harry Leonard. Absolutely not. There is no way. And there we go. I've worked my way through the squad. And the only player that I actually probably would look at in that squad and sign is I think Bobby Poynton would be great for us on the right wing. But he doesn't even start for you guys. And he's only scored like 3 goals since like September. So yeah, he's not getting in anyway. And nobody's getting in over Lisby. I don't know how the maths of that has worked out, but I genuinely stand by that completely. I do not see any Bradford player in that Posh combined 11. Bradford have had a very good togetherness and they're very tactically well set up and they have a good, like, seasoned League One team that don't get flustered, particularly in big moments and stuff, which is why they've done well. But in terms of pure quality in the squad, we have so much more.
There's your five.
Okay, over which Peterborough players is my question. Oh, anyway, so you that's my bone that I've picked. Sarsavich doesn't get, he doesn't even, Sarsavich.
He's freaking, he's lost his head.
I'm fuming, Sarsavich.
He's lost his head.
Like he's he's played in League Two for seasons, and then when Stockport got promoted to League One, right, he got dropped. They binned him off back to League Two because he's not even League One level. And we've got Matthew Garbutt in the same position as him, who's going to the World Cup in the summer. Like, what? I'm so confused. Anyway, right, this is right. Ash, you pick your bones because my bone has been picked dry.
Some serious bones to be picked, isn't it? We of course had a relatively big story come from the EFL this week that they are going to potentially decide to extend the playoffs from 4 teams to 6. And I just I think it's a shambles. And I know that Darius said on his podcast that he's all for it. But the only reason that he's all for it is because we're currently in eighth. So we would be a benefiter of that. Can you imagine the outrage, bearing in mind that this guy said that we wouldn't have voted 4 points per game if we were higher than Wickham in that COVID year that got cancelled. And he was so angry about that. Can you imagine if we finished third and the team in eighth next season or the season after, whichever it is, brings us, like, is 30 points behind us and beats us at Wembley? Can you imagine how livid he would be? Like, there's just no way. And then part of the enjoyment of the playoffs, certainly the EFL playoffs, is that you have a home game and an away game. They're not going to be going, what would it be? It would be eighth versus fifth. Fifth would be the home team. I don't think there would then be an away leg. You can't expect four, like, teams to potentially five extra games at the end of the season. Like, that's just completely ridiculous. So you'd be fifth versus eighth. Fifth would be the home team. Sixth versus seventh. Sixth would be the home team. Then they would then have an away game at the winner of that. Those would be third and fourth. And then you would then move on there. I just think it's a ridiculous idea. Like, there's nothing wrong with the playoffs as they are. And they are so exciting. Like, I watch every playoff game, regardless of whether Posh are in it or not, because you just know that something exciting is going to happen. Chaz, we went to that, didn't we? We went to watch Crawley versus MK Dons. Like, the game was done and it was still exciting. Like, they ended up winning, what was it, like 5-2 on the night, was it, when we went there?
I think it was 5-1 on the night, yeah.
Yeah, like, and just, like, incredible. And you lose that. Like, one of the greatest sets, we were involved in probably one of the greatest sets of fixtures the playoffs have ever seen. We went 4-0 up, and we then lost 4-0, 5-1, lost on penalties. If you change the format, you don't ever get that. That's what every club dreams of. Like, every time that you talk about Barry Bannon, he talks about that night against Posh. Any Sheffield Wednesday fan, you go and speak to them, they will tell you about that night against Posh. Like, you'll have people that were 25 when they watched that game, when they're 95, telling their great-great-grandkids about it, because it's probably the best game that they've ever watched as Sheffield Wednesday fans. To change it, absolute shit show. And I just don't believe that Dara thinks that it's a good idea. The only reason that he does think it's a good idea is because it would benefit us when we don't finish in the third to sixth position. I just think it's ridiculous.
Well, I will bring... So it's Ash's turn to lose his head. So now I'll try and bring the calm. I just want to say, first of all, I think you maybe misunderstood the format slightly, because I think what was being billed was not changing the semi-finals or the finals, but adding a preliminary qualifier. So you'll still have a home leg and an away leg in the semi-final and a playoff final, but there'll be the quarterfinals, which will be a one-legged thing at the home of fifth or sixth. So I think that was what was being proposed, which is... I'm pretty sure that was what was being proposed. That might be wrong, but I think...
I'll level with you. I didn't look at it because I think it's a fucking stupid idea, so I didn't even give it the time of day.
Which that does still give scope for Sheffield Wednesday style drama. But I have to say, I am not for it either. I think, first of all, there are much bigger fish to fry. Let's sort out the fact that there's only two clubs coming up from the National League. Let's get three up in that. The issue is no EFL clubs will vote for that because it's not self-serving. What EFL club wants more of a chance to get relegated to the National League? None. Whereas actually, there's loads of big clubs in the National League. It basically is a League Three now. I'm firmly a three-up, you know, advocate. And I think that has to happen before we look at changing the playoffs at all. I don't think it makes much sense, to be honest. I think playoffs are one of the things that, while I hate the playoffs at times, they are the most perfect thing about English football. And you don't need to change them. They are ready-made 90-minute of drama every time there's one on, you know, 120 minutes plus penalties of drama, you know, two legs of just absolute chaos, and then the playoff finals at Wembley. And I don't think you need to change that. And we've seen what can happen in football. Like, we have ourselves, you know, beaten teams when we really shouldn't have, and we've been beaten by teams that really shouldn't have. And if you get eighth against third, like, let's look at the disparity. But for previous seasons, for example. So League One, let's go last season. Third place had 87 points. Eighth place had 68 points. That is a massive disparity. And that isn't even, you know, the most it's ever been. A lot of the time, actually, you know.
Wasn't there a massive difference when we finished in sixth and Sheffield Wednesday finished third? Weren't we like 30 points behind them? Oh my God,
yeah, there was. Let me go back to that season. So eighth that season was 26 points behind third. That is crazy. And I know that is the format of the playoffs. The teams that finish a lot of points behind someone can beat them and can steal their spot of promotion. I'm on board with that, but I'm not on board with extending it. I don't think it needs to be done. And I also think it just makes the playoffs less elite, you know? The more teams in it, the less exciting it is to be in the playoffs. Because, you know, what in the championship, then you've got, what, 8 out of the 24 teams. So a third of the teams either get automatically promoted or go into the playoffs. Whereas now, which I know, you know, adding 2 more teams isn't a crazy amount, but it's a decent, a third of the teams. And then add on to that, 3 teams get relegated. Half of the teams then have something pretty notable that happens to them in the season. And that's just not the way that football works. Sometimes you do just have, a lot of the time, you do just have a mid-table obscurity season, which then helps to make it even more dramatic when you do have a good season. And also, how many failed playoff campaigns are teams going to have if there's 8 teams in it? Like, there'll be teams that get in the playoffs like 8 years in a row and just lose every time because, you know, they finish 7th or 8th every season and they just get hammered every time. They finish 8th in there and then they get beat in that quarterfinal playoff leg. Like, I don't think it's great. I'm not a fan of it, to be honest, at all.
Yeah, strange. This is quite a cool comment. Greetings from Vienna. Posh fan since 1998. Lived in Borough. Lods might remember him. Miggy. All the best. Enjoying the content. And he agrees with us on the playoffs. That's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Posh abroad type things. Obviously, there's been a few issues with the Posh goals account. He posts from... He lives in Bali now, potentially. I might be wrong there. But he's getting copyright strikes galore. No doubt that there's somebody at the club or the EFL that are going, nah, not on my watch. Fuck the EFL, I say. For doing that, because it ruins... there's nothing I like more at half-time than being able to watch a goal back, but I can't do that anymore because Posh Goals is being banned. Charlie, I haven't got much else to say other than I really fucking hope that if they're going to call the game off, it needs to be before 8:30 tomorrow, because I do not want to be on my way to Bradford and then it be postponed. But we have decided that we're going to go to Sheffield Wednesday, hopefully, if the game gets called off.
Yeah, we've got a few good options. Wednesday would be a good... I think it depends where you are as well when it gets called off. Because if you are in Bradford, you're not... Well, actually, you might come down to Sheffield. But yeah, there's a few good options of games on. Because obviously, it is FA Cup, but a lot of teams are still playing. Like Chesterfield are at home, Derby are at home. There's quite a few options, so I'm sure we'll find somewhere to watch some football. But yeah.
Well, the game's going to be on anyway. We don't need to
worry about it. I actually do think it's going to be on. I'm pretty confident of that. But who knows? And Bantam Neil, here's a smile. I'm not falling out with you. I was just genuinely interested because I spent so long looking at the squad and just couldn't get a Bradford player in, and that was I felt with the tinted glasses off. And I just thought, yeah, actually can't find anyone.
Well, let that be said. We should win 11-0 tomorrow then if the teams are to go anything by the wall. What a day out that would be, eh? You know,
that would be very, very good.
Let's leave it there. Let's go and are Wrexham on TV versus Ipswich, or is it another game? I can't remember.
It's Hull Chelsea, I think. Oh wait, I think they're both on actually, but it depends. You can watch one on iPlayer and one on main TV, but yeah.
Well, I'll be watching whichever one has probably got the most amount of goals in it or the most amount of jeopardy on it. I'll watch Hull Chelsea.
It's got to be Wrexham. Hull are 3-0 down to Chelsea already.
I will not be watching Hull Chelsea then.
Wrexham 1-0 Ipswich. There we go.
Yeah, that's the one that I will be going to watch then. And Chaz, what's your evening going to entail?
It's a big night on Love Island, so I will be locking into that.
What's the content? What content clips am I going to see on my TikTok other than lookalike John putting down some absolutely terrible game?
Partner's
meant to be.
It's one of the nights tonight where they make them basically vote other couples. So they'll, you know, they pick which couples they're going to fall apart straight away as soon as they leave Love Island. Then everyone has to vote. And then they, you know, and usually people don't take the votes in very good faith. They get quite upset. So it usually causes beef and people to fall out. And last night, towards the end of the episode, there was people that weren't getting on very well. Very unnecessary beef. The girls this year are just falling out every single night. It's an absolute nightmare. Some serious moral, some interesting morals in that villa this year, I have to say. But then it's All Stars. What do you expect? They are the biggest and the best that Love Island have to offer. So I'll be going and doing that. You go and watch your football and I'll go watch my reality TV. And yeah, nice.
Who is doing away day ratings tomorrow? Have we sorted that? Maybe we need to get active in the group chat. There's four of us going, isn't there? So one of us needs to do them.
Well, me, Max and Lods are in the same car, aren't we? So we could do it. I don't know. I don't mind.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's one of you three, because I will very quickly be dipping out of there. Charlie, have you got any Valentine's dates lined up tomorrow evening? Any predictions for how you want to go?
My Valentine's date is, well, you guys away at Bradford, and then getting back, and yeah, not doing a huge amount.
Crying into a trifle for one, no doubt.
Yeah, no. That's...
Are you going to treat? You told me during the week that you haven't had a yum yum this year. Surely. Yeah. You'll treat yourself to a Valentine's yum yum.
Maybe if I'm feeling extra romantic, we'll see.
Right, let's get out of here. Up the podcast. What are you laughing at?
Carl in the chat. I'm laughing at Carl. Up the podcast.